We're in a series where we have a theme, and I'm going to connect up what we talk about today to our theme, but today, I just really want us to think about that final partition in the Lord's Prayer, about what it means. Deliver us from evil. During his life, Eugene Peterson became close friends with a nun. Eugene himself was very much at home in the world of thinking about scripture, thinking about theology. But from this nun, he was exposed to and he learned a lot just about the soul, about spirituality, about prayer. And one day, he and this nun were talking. They were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And Eugene says, "Do you know which phrase is hardest for me to pray, hardest for me to understand what it is that I'm praying?" And the nun replies, "Oh, that's easy. It's deliver us from evil." She says, "You Protestants, you know everything about sin and hardly anything about evil. You think it's all about personal sin, and you don't recognize the presence of evil. You don't recognize the pervasiveness and the persistence of evil on earth and in the human situation." I think there's something to her comment, actually. We tend to be more comfortable with the problem of sin than we are with the problem of evil. I mean, occasionally we'll think about and we'll talk about the attacks of Satan or the opposition from enemies. But in general, our approach is that humans, like you and me, we commit moral infractions. We violate God's moral law. But the world out there is understood by us pretty much in scientific and physical terms. That's how we understand everything that's out there. It's a bunch of atoms moving around really fast. Chemical things going on. Just have a materialistic, scientific, physical explanation of what the world is out there. And the stuff about evil, other than the evil in the human heart that results in the human committing moral infractions, we're not quite sure about that. In the scripture, we do find talk of how each one of us can engage in evil. Each one of us can practice evil. When any of us practices evil, when any of us engages in evil, I think that's what's called sinning. But also in the scripture, you can simply encounter evil. You can just run into it. You can experience it. Evil can happen to you. Evil happening makes us ask questions like, why do bad things happen to people? Or more pointedly, perhaps, why do bad things happen to good people? Because when evil happens to a person, person can be hurt. Person can be hindered, can be ensnared, person can suffer loss. So that you can encounter evil, can happen to you. Experience it makes us ask questions like, why do bad things happen? Job is a good example, by the way, of one who had evil happen to him. I mean, Job had a bunch of bad stuff come his way. Caused a lot of loss, a lot of hurt, a lot of struggle, a lot of temptation for him. If you're a believer and you hope to walk a path following Jesus and doing what Jesus has commanded, a very important issue is how is all the bad stuff going to affect you? You believe in Jesus and you want to follow him and you want to do what he's commanded, a really important issue is, well, how is all the bad stuff going to affect you when you encounter it? Scripture reminds us that the days are evil. It's out of Ephesians. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. What makes the days evil? And how should we respond when we encounter the evil that's found in our days? So I want us to consider just that final petition of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. When a person is dealing with sin, the prayer that we should make is forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So when you're dealing with sin in your own life, the prayer that you should make is, Lord, forgive. Forgive us. Forgive me. When you're dealing with evil, the prayer that each of us should make is, deliver me. Deliver me from evil. Deliver us from evil. So let's keep it kind of simple. Let's define evil as the bad stuff that's out there. The opposite of evil in the Scripture is good. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So let's just understand evil as it's the bad stuff. So think about what is some of the bad stuff. Now, the bad stuff that you can encounter, bad stuff that can happen to you. That bad stuff includes the obvious and awful stuff. The moral evil done by humans, it includes that. It includes the robbery and the assault, the murder and the rape. Things that you are afraid could happen to you if you are alone on the dark street in the middle of the night. All that stuff. If it's evil, you'd get robbed, you could get assaulted, somebody could shoot you. All that stuff that you could be afraid of in the dark street in the middle of the night. That's the bad stuff. That bad stuff can happen to you. So that's included. Bad stuff includes things that occur naturally, in the sense that they're not caused directly by human agency. Stuff that could happen to you if you were all by yourself in the middle of Montana with nobody around you for hundreds of miles. You could get an earthquake. You could get a drought. You could have some storm. You get attacked by a wild animal. You get sick. You get come down with some disease. All of us have to, you have to live in a world, you know, that has earthquakes and tsunami and cancer and airplane crashes. You have to live in that kind of world. So it's all that stuff that just occurs naturally, you know, without human agency. You know, that's part of the bad stuff. The book of Ecclesiastes identifies some bad stuff, that stuff that it labels as evil. Here's some couple samples, because it's perhaps some stuff that we don't often quickly call bad stuff or call evil. And there's a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. It's to his vanity, and it's a great evil. Just bad stuff. Somebody who's labored with knowledge and wisdom and skill and built it up and got a legacy, hands it off to someone who doesn't have any of those things. Writer of Ecclesiastes says, that's an evil. There's a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches being hoarded by their owner to his hurt. Well, riches are a good thing, a blessing from God. Somebody's getting the riches or hoarding them. They're not getting the blessing, the joy, the delight, the benefit, the reward of it. They're getting hurt by it, yet they keep hoarding it. So that's an evil, grievous evil. There's a couple more. This also is a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, thus will he die. He's not just pointing out the fact that you're going to die. That, you might say, that's an evil. But no matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, You might have evangelized the continent of Africa. You might have built a Fortune 500 company. You might have wasted all of your life in immorality and drugs. And no matter what you've done, you die exactly as you were born. Steve Jobs had a lot of stuff. All of it is still here. He didn't take any of it with him. That's true for every single person, right? Writer of Ecclesiastes says, that's a grievous evil. No matter what you do, you're going to go out like you came in with nothing. There is an evil I have seen under the sun. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. Things that about which that make you say, that's not right. You know, it shouldn't be like that. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, those things are evil. It just, that doesn't seem right. You know, folly shouldn't be in high places with the rich guys down there down low in humble places. That's not right. That's not fair. But things are bent. Things are broken. There's lots of things on earth, lots of things in life that just don't work right. Part of the bad stuff. Part of the evil. Bad stuff also includes, of course, stuff done by the enemy, by Satan. By Satan and his helpers. Just, you know, a reminder that, you know, Satan works evil. And he doesn't just tempt people to just do bad stuff. He sets snares and lays schemes, builds networks, gets doctrines, got some deceitful spirits, promulgates lies and deceptions. He was into fake news a long time before anybody else was. But he can bring deceit, and he can bring destructive things, things that steal, things that enslave, things that entrap. Things that control. So bad stuff involves stuff done by the enemy, by our enemy, who goes around like a roaring lion, you know, seeking folks to devour. Personally, I think that we can, sometimes do, find ourselves in places, find ourselves in situations that are bad. If you stay in that bad place, if you stay in that bad situation too long, the evil is going to get you. You're probably going to get in trouble there just because it's a bad place. Bad company corrupts. It's going to get you. Let that bad place, that bad situation color you, affect you. It's going to put you on a bad road, not a good road. So certainly a lot more can be said, but that's probably enough general stuff. Just that evil is some of the bad stuff that's out there. From the stuff that can happen in the alleyway, that could be done to you by other humans, to the naturally occurring stuff. You know, some of that stuff that just the world doesn't, it's not fair, it doesn't seem to work right, just broke, just bent. To that attack and the scheme and the design and the working of the enemy, spiritual enemies against us. Those things are evil. It's just bad stuff, and you can encounter it. You do encounter it. So now take the next step. Consider how the bad stuff affects you when you run across it, when it happens to you. When you encounter the bad stuff, what happens to you? Maybe think about what happens when it happens to you directly. But also, of course, what about how do you respond when you see evil happening to others, to your family, to your friend, to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, to a kid? So what happens when you encounter evil? How does the bad stuff affect you? One major effect, of course, is the bad stuff can make you afraid. Bad stuff is often scary, and it can make us afraid, can cause us to live in fear. I think there are many who fear evil, fear all that bad stuff. All of us, of course, want to be able to say with the psalmist of Psalm 23, I will fear no evil. Yet there are many who, in fact, greatly fear pretty much all evil. Just by the way, a running comment. Fearing no evil, being a person who says, I will fear no evil, that does not mean that no evil will happen. You know, that no evil will be experienced. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death is experiencing evil. And it's a scary place. But to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and say, I fear no evil, what that means is that the evil that you encounter doesn't make you afraid. Doesn't mean you'll never encounter it. It means when you encounter it, it doesn't scare you. Doesn't make you live in fear. I will fear no evil, whatever kind it is. From the attack of Satan, to the natural disaster, to the accidents that happen, to the diagnosis that come from the doctor, to what people can do to you in the dark alley, I will fear no evil. It doesn't make me afraid. If evil can make you afraid, if the bad stuff that's out there can make you afraid, then evil can call a lot of shots. If it's successful in making you afraid, then it can call a lot of shots in your life. It can paralyze you, can hold you captive, can steer your course. Where you go and what you do and how you live can be steered by the fear that you have from the bad stuff that's out there. Being afraid to fly, I don't think, is fearing evil, but let me use that as an example. If you're afraid to fly, think of how that can affect you as far as your course. You don't just jump on a plane and fly to New York. New York's a long ways away. It takes you a long time to get there because you don't fly. You live differently and act differently and think differently and plan differently because you're afraid to fly. You're afraid of cancer. Cancer scares you. You know, you can do a lot of things in life because I'm afraid of cancer. So if evil can make you afraid, evil can call a lot of shots in our lives. So it can make us afraid. Encountering evil, encountering bad stuff can also make you angry. Can make you disgusted. Because there is evil, because there's bad stuff, you can walk around mad all the time. Because things just aren't right. Things aren't as they should be. Things aren't fair. So the presence of that bad stuff can just make you angry. Makes you mad. And that anger then can cause you to take paths and have perspectives, make responses that don't, and themselves aren't good. It can lead you to the practice of evil or participation in evil. But encountering evil can make you mad. Encountering evil can cause great discouragement, can cause sadness. I mean, encountering evil just can take all the wind out of your sails. Can it? Happen to you or somebody else? Just, you know, bad stuff happens to them. What's that matter? I'm just going to quit. Give me the M&Ms. I'm just going to watch TV. It's just going to be very discouraging. Just put you in a funk. And you ever have evil make you apathetic? Who cares? Evil can cause confusion and doubt. Confusion and doubt about God. Who's in charge? charge of this operation. That's why you get theodicy and the problem of evil, and goes back to how could God be both omnipotent and good? He must not be all powerful because he would do things differently. If he were, he must not be good because if he were good, he would do things differently. So you have a confusion and doubt about God. You also can have confusion and doubt because of evil about what you should do, about where you should go. Evil often makes a mess out of things. And messes are difficult to understand and difficult to navigate. One of the challenges I've experienced is just being involved with the saints for many years and trying to serve as a pastor. As people come to you and, you know, a bunch of evil has happened, and it's such a mess. It's hard for Dutch people. What do you make of this? What are you supposed to do now? So it can cause just confusion and doubt in multiple fronts, because it's just a mess. And of course, encountering evil can also cause temptation. Encountering evil can entice you to participate in it, can move you to practice it yourself. Everybody else is doing it, seems like. I might as well too. Encounter it. Often, soon you are then doing it yourself, participating in it, practicing it yourself. So encountering evil can affect us, does affect us in many ways. So now consider that petition. Deliver us from evil. We make that prayer because we don't want to get all of the effects that evil can cause in us. You know, when we encounter it, all this stuff can happen to us. We can be afraid, we can get mad, we can be discouraged, etc. We don't want to have all those evil calling all the shots for us. So we make the prayer, deliver us from evil. If you don't want all the effects that the bad stuff can bring to the human life, human course, the right prayer is, Lord, deliver. The fundamental idea there is a request to be rescued, to be saved, to be snatched out of this. It's get me out of here. It's the prayer that you make when you're a little kid and the angry dog is coming towards you. It's deliver me. That's when you make that prayer. It's the prayer that you make when you fall out of the boat 20 miles from land in cold water. It's deliver me. Rescue me. Get me out of here. This is the prayer that you make when 10 people around you pull guns and all you have is a pencil. You brought a pencil to a gunfight type of idea. You say, Lord, deliver me. Rescue me. Get me out of here. So one thing that all of us need God to do for us is we need God to get us out of places and situations. We need God to rescue us at times. We need him to deliver us. You know, I need that, you need that, we all need that. But God, get me out of Dodge. Rescue me. There are places, there are situations, if you're not rescued, evil will get you. The dog will bite you, you'll drown in the water, waves will sweep over your head, you'll get shot holding your pencil. There's places and situations where if you don't get rescued, the evil's going to get you. And the evil deceives us and it causes disorder for us. It damages us, can ensnare us, it traps us. So the days are evil. Ask the Lord to deliver you from all evil. that rescue that comes from the Lord from evil might take the form of just getting you out of there, snatching you out of the situation, moving you away. There's evil in Pasadena. The Lord can snatch you and stick you down in Monrovia. He just rescued you. The rescue from the Lord can take the form of not letting the evil touch you. You're right in the midst of it. You walk through the fire, but you're not burned. You don't even smell like smoke. Okay. You were rescued from it. Still in the midst of it, but it can't touch you. So here's my plea to you. Tomorrow, you will encounter evil. You'll encounter bad stuff. Because there's lots of bad stuff out there. Pray that the Lord deliver you from the bad stuff that you encounter, that comes your way, that happens to you. Deliverance from the Lord is often about the Lord moving us. And my plea to each of us is be a person whom the Lord can move. That's my plea. That you would be a person whom the Lord can move. We can be very stubborn. I can be very stubborn about the Lord moving me. I suspect that you can be stubborn about the Lord moving you. We can hoard stuff that hurts us, and we keep right on hoarding it, and it keeps right on hurting us, because I don't want to move. I don't want the Lord himself to move me. I don't let the Lord move me. We don't want the hurt, but we won't let the Lord move us to a different place. We don't let the Lord deliver us or rescue us. He throws the rope and throws the lifeline and opens the door so you can get in the car. And no, I don't want to move. It's possible to be in a bad place, but then not allow the Lord to move you out of the bad place. Not allow the Lord to deliver you from the evil. You just want to stay in the bad place. I've watched it in the lives of people. It's a very discouraging thing to see. They're hurting because they're in a bad place. They won't leave the place. They won't let the Lord move them from the place. So my plea to you is be a person whom the Lord can move. Because that's an important dimension of following him, because he has to deliver us from evil. He's got to rescue you. He's got to pick you up and get you out of there. So if you ask the Lord to deliver you from evil, be open to him moving you. A very important question at times is just, why are you here? Wherever the here is, why are you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you surrounded by all of this stuff? Whatever the stuff is, why are you in this place surrounded by all this stuff? What are you doing here? Why are you watching that? You know, why are you filling your head with that? What are you doing here? Why are you involved with and absorbed with these things, whatever the things are? Like, what are you doing here? Because sometimes the place that you're in isn't going to teach you to do the Lord's will. It's going to teach you to do the enemy's will. As long as you stay in this place, it isn't going to teach you about following Jesus. It's going to teach you about the deceitful schemes of the enemy. So get out of the place. Let the Lord deliver you. Let him move you. Well, I thought I would just tidy up this place a little bit. You know, maybe the Lord help me can rearrange it. But the Lord says, no, it's a bad place. It's an evil place. I'll rescue you. I'll move you out. So let him do that. So the days are evil. You're going to encounter it tomorrow and the day after that. But none of us should want evil to determine how or where we walk. You don't want evil to call the shots. Not the fear that it can cause, so that you live in fear. Have evil call from the shot, because evil can make you afraid. Not the confusion that evil can bring, not the anger, not the discouragement, not the temptation. We don't want evil to call the shots. So it's important to be people whom the Lord can move. Maybe he'll move you in areas where you recognize that you're in trouble, where you recognize, I'm in a bad place. I've been here for a long time, but I shouldn't be here. So maybe, Lord, move me out of here. I know it's bad. Sometimes, though, he moves you in areas where you didn't even recognize that there was bad stuff around you. I think of being a parent. I snatched my kids out of some situation. They didn't know. They were just about ready to get hurt. They didn't know they were in a bad place. But I could recognize it. Here, let me get you out of there. Dad, I was playing. Yeah, well, you would have been playing for about 2 more minutes and you'd been dead. So Dad rescued you. So the Lord can be like that. He might snatch you out of place. He might move you from a place. Like, I didn't even know it was a bad place. But he knows. It's by fearing the Lord that we can stay away from evil. And it's important for all of us to be careful how you walk. You know, to examine everything carefully and hold fast to what's good. And abstain from every form of evil. If you know this verse in the King James, you need to relearn it. The King James says, avoiding even the appearance of evil. That's been interpreted as don't do stuff that others might see that looks bad. That's not what the verse means. It means stay away from it if it's bad, no matter how it looks. Everybody in America might think it looks great, but it's not great. It's bad, so stay away. It might be very presentable, socially acceptable. You might get applauded for it. You might get a raise if you do it. Paul is saying, I don't care how it looks. If it's evil, if it's bad, let the Lord deliver you from it, move you away. So my plea is to you, pray, Lord, deliver me, rescue me. I know that means you're going to, at times, move me. I'm ready to be moved. In areas where I recognize it, in areas where I don't, just snatch me away. So be a person for whom that happens. If you've been a Christian for 25 years and you can't testify to any place where the Lord jerked me out of that place, then you probably are stuck in some places that are not good. Let the Lord move you out. Let him deliver you from evil. Let's pray together. Father, we want to pray this prayer that your Son taught us to pray. We pray that you would deliver us from evil. Father, where we ourselves have participated and practiced evil, Father, where we have sinned against you, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us as we would forgive any who, Father, have sinned against us. And Father, just all the bad stuff that's out there, Father, that comes from many quarters and can affect us in so many ways and can end up directing, Father, the course of our life and the perceptions that we have, the decisions that we make, and Father, the responses, Father, that just seem so right given the situation. Father, we would not have evil, Father, direct our steps or call the shots. So we ask us that you would deliver us from all evil. Father, wherever you need to move us, Father, give us the wisdom and the humility to allow you to bring us out of the bad place and into a good place. Father, away from things that would be destructive and deceptive, Father, would hinder and harm us to of into a good place where your will can be known and done and walked in. Father, where your light, Father, calls the shots for our path. So, Father, we pray that you deliver us. Father, and we'll rejoice. Father, when you move us to the places and to the plans that you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.